If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can be a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help you find options within your budget. Try it today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
History shows women keep showing up for everyone, every day. But who's showing up for you? Grow Therapy helps you put your mental health first with therapy that's covered by insurance and built to support you. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, and get started in as little as 2 days. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/ACAST to get started. That's growtherapy.com/ACAST. growtherapy.com/ACAST. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And we are back today with Love is Blind, Season 10, Episode 12, The Weddings. And three and a half weddings. I don't know how many weddings it was. But, and a breakup that Brittany just doesn't know about yet.
A couple breakups, but yeah. Yes. Yeah, one off camera, one non-wedding breakup.
Yes.
Which was hilarious.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's just dive into it. So we're going to talk about the weddings. We're going to talk about some of the, you know, things that have been put out. This cast really, really wants to make their feelings known.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody is posting and talking, and then exes are coming out of the woodwork and all that good stuff. So we're going to talk about that. So if you don't like that, and those are spoilers, please turn this off now, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some spoilers because these people are just talking like crazy.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is the show came out on Wednesday and I watched it. I think I watched it yesterday morning or something, and which is yesterday was Friday. And so the time between Wednesday and Friday to avoid spoilers, I mean, Peggy was our social media manager is texting us. I'm like, God damn it, Peggy, no spoilers. Spoilers. I'm like, she didn't really spoil anything, but she was sort of alluding to things. I'm like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready.
Well, now they're like avoiding TikTok. And it's not just this episode. They're now, we're now getting spoilers about the reunion.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, talking about what happens at the reunion and if people are still together or not and that type of thing. So yeah, spoilers abound.
Yes.
What can I say?
All right. Okay. Well, let's start with Mike and Emma. And I think Mike was like, oh, God damn it. You were going to say no. And I was just going to be able to walk away. But now I have to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the right thing to do. Yeah. I think Mike made the right decision. And I think even Emma is like, yeah, he did make the right decision. Mm-hmm. Right. I think she's like, I love you. And I needed to say yes. And he loves her, but I need to say no. But yeah,
he was very direct, you know, he was prepared to have to do this.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look surprised, but he looked like, oh, okay, I'm the one who's going to have to break this off. And he said it very succinctly. He said, mm-hmm. I love you. Right now, I'm not ready. I want kids and I want to know 100% that you do too. And he did mm-hmm. the right thing. And
yes,
absolutely. But then the parents all look, they pan to the parents and the audience, and the parents all look really taken aback. You know, like they were surprised by this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. His parents just seem so confused. Like his parents are just like, what's happening? You're happy. We're happy. Okay, great. Fine. One thing that I thought was really interesting is this whole baby thing. And this is why I really feel like there's lots of people out there. I think that if Mike and Emma get married, they're going to have, so they're having children. I worry that Mike is always going to wonder in the back of his mind, is she happy?
Or did you really want this?
Did you really want this? So there's a big part of me. It's a little bit like people who get together after cheating and they cheated on other people and now they're together. It's like, yeah, you're always kind of looking at that person mm-hmm. going, well, you cheated on your ex with me. So what stops you? And so I think it's almost for him, as much as he may love her and care about her, I think that he is like, I can't be with someone who I don't know is going to be like down. And he's not wrong. Like he wants to be with someone who wants to have children. And this needs to be exciting to them.
Right.
And fun.
Right.
Not, and Emma, oh God, and no.
Emma's sister really was a wet blanket. You know, he's sitting there listening to her saying that if she had to do it all over again, she wouldn't have children, and children really, you know, kind of not ruin your life, but like limit
I'm so glad. Sorry. I'm so glad these kids can't possibly see this. Oh no, wait. Like,
one of the kids was there. One of the kids was there. Right there. I know she's young, but she's not that young and she's not stupid. Okay. Her mom is 2 feet away from her.
Yes.
Saying, if I had to do it over again, I wouldn't have had.
I don't want you, Susie.
Yeah, I mean,
you're bringing me down.
I hope that that woman, you know, took a serious look at what she did there, and that she needs some therapy or something because she's
happy. She spilled too much. She shared too much.
Yeah,
again, this is
that's going to freak Mike out because, you know, this family, her family is not that excited about her. And the mom is even saying, it's okay if you don't have kids. I mean, they are so not vested in having children at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think they're two very different families. I think Mike has a very traditional Italian close-knit family. I think Emma's family is close-knit as well, but just in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the parents were talking at the end and I was like, yeah, I think the parents really got it. Like, because Emma's mom's like, listen, Mike should have kids if he wants to have kids. Let, you know, I mean, she's almost saying like, Mike should not pick Emma.
Right. This was a good outcome.
Yeah. This is a good thing. Like, and I think that was funny to just see all the parents together. Yeah. I'm like, all of them are looking at each other going, this was the right outcome. Great.
Yeah.
Perfect. So,
yeah, and then they had a very mature talk. You know, he went upstairs to talk to her and, you know, it was very mature, the whole thing. Yeah. And I kept thinking, oh, are they going to date after the show? Because they could, they didn't have like this messy breakup. They could date, but I don't know. I think Mike wants to move on and find, you know, someone who wants to have kids. I mean, he's
right away.
30, 33 or something.
Yeah, no, he does not want to. I mean, and that's the other thing. This whole time, their conversation never changed. Mm-hmm. They should have never gotten together in the pods. Yeah. But okay. But the conversation never changed. There was never any movement. There was never any like, yeah, I'm thinking about this in a new way. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it now and I'm seeing this. It was always like, yeah, I don't know. So the thing is, Mike wants to have kids right away. So he needs to meet someone who's ready to get married within a year, you know, in a year from now. And then someone who's going to get pregnant on the honeymoon and go, go, go. And Emma's going to him and haw.
Yeah, maybe if she had said something in her vows about, you know, I really want to have a family with you someday. I mean, just anything. She didn't give him anything.
No, and this baby thing, I mean, this is the thing. Like, love does not keep people together. Love, right? These two people, everyone thinks love is can cure all and conquer all. It's like, no, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And you meet people and we all have these soulmates and people that we don't end up with. And you know, we have such a hard time believing that it's a good thing sometimes to let someone go, to like say, I love you. And as much as I love you, but you and I want different lives. I mean, truly, that's really what they're talking about. They want different lives.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all right.
That's Mike and Emma.
Yes. But I have not seen anything about them. Like,
no.
I don't see no ex, of course, Mike.
No, they have no
ex-girlfriends, no skeletons, no nothing. Yeah. Mike is, I bet you anything by the reunion, he's a good guy. And I hope that he tells us he's dating someone that he's really happy with. Cause I want to see him happy. Okay. Him and, Connor.
Yes.
Those two. And Vic. Sorry. Vic is a given. All right. Jordan and Amber. These two, there's all this kooky stuff's coming out about them. And we got receipts and we've got pictures of, and I find the two of them so odd. What is happening here? Like, apparently a lot more happened between the two of them than what was shown.
Yeah. Well, I think they gave them a favorable edit because they were one of the only couples who got married, you know, said I do. And they wanted it to be more Cinderella-like than it really was. And this is what I'm upset about. You know, justice for little Emma. I can't believe what they put this through.
Yes, this whole thing. Yeah.
I'm pissed. That poor girl looked so confused. She looked like a deer in headlights when they said, well, we'll get to her reaction at the end. I can just say it now.
Yeah, just say it now.
So when they said, okay, so basically what happens is, Jordan is extremely, extremely nervous. And I was thinking, oh, he's going to say no. He did not look like he wanted to get married at all. He was a mess.
Yeah.
And then he gets to the altar and, Amber says, yes, but I understand if you don't. I'm a lot. Wow. That's
okay, Amber.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. You need to work on you, Amber.
Yeah. And there's other things about that too. Anyway, so we're just going to work backwards. We're going to start with this and then we're going to work backwards.
Like memento here, people, we got to piece it together.
Issues. Okay. So she says, yeah, if you want to, I know I'm a lot. It's like, oh, that's romantic. And so, you know, long pause, you know, he's thinking. And he's like, I'm going to go with my heart and say yes. And everyone is shocked. And not they pan the audience. All the family members are shocked. Everybody's shocked. Emma's shocked. She's crying. She doesn't understand what is happening. And so, you know, now what's coming out is, you know, had they agreed to both say no? Had they agreed to both say yes? What did they agree to? And maybe Jordan went rogue or she went rogue and he didn't want to look bad. You know, so maybe that's why he said yes, because things are coming out that it does not sound like they had a very stable relationship. And that I think there was a lot of drama, but it wasn't shown, you know, so we don't know what's going on.
I'm also wondering how much time they really spent together, because prior to them getting married, we're having this conversation about where they're going to live. Mm-hmm. And this where they're going to live, again, is a huge part of it, which is she lives in Mount Vernon, which I take is a suburb or kind of far out. He wants to, you know, he's a man of town, so he needs to stay in Columbus.
He needs to be there for the bars and the concerts. Yeah,
the nightlife, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's nowhere in between. And, you know, obviously Amber doesn't want Emma to take her out of school. Like just hearing that. And then someone in his family is like, well, can't you find something in the outskirts? And there's like one neighborhood they both agree on. I'm like, oh, this is a mess. Like, where are you two even going
to
live?
Take Emma. Look, he has to move to Mount Vernon. That's the reality. You cannot take Emma away from her dad and her school.
Yeah.
You cannot do that to her. So yeah. Did they not have these discussions? I mean, that's the thing. Amber did not protect this. It was almost like, well, she was thinking she could negotiate something with him, or she should have just been upfront. Like, no, if you want to be with me, this is where we're living. Cause this is where my daughter goes to school and her father is here. Point blank period. That's the end of the discussion. And if Jordan didn't want to do that, look, you're going to be married. You're not going to be going out to bars and going to concerts. And if you want to go to, how often do you go to a concert? You can drive an hour when Emma's with her dad and go see a concert. Like he didn't want to be there. Remember, this is the guy who said that his one non-negotiable in the pods was a woman with a child.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, and this is why. And he shouldn't have dated her. He shouldn't have even got to this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, I understand why Amber came on the show, but it sounds like, you know, you have a kid, and she was very upfront and honest about having this child, and it was, but it's like you need to make this your priority. You needed to walk into each pod meeting and basically like, I have a kid. This is where we live. I cannot move within outside of the school district, let's say, and see what happens. But I think, again, like I said, the pods are like 2 a.m. at the bar when it's closing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everybody is making plans to, right? Or like, you're leaving someone from camp and you're going to be best friends forever.
Right.
You know, all of those experiences where you go through something very intense or something, and then you go, it's like not one of these people thought this through at all.
No, this is so ill-conceived. And and even, okay, another thing, like, okay, Amber's friends and family, you know, when she's getting ready, and they're all, oh, Amber, you know, I'm so happy for you. You know, you deserve this. You've had such a hard time. And I'm just thinking, well, who has Amber been dating? Like murderers? You know, I mean, what is so special about Amber's dating history that is so awful that, oh, you deserve this, that you've been through a lot? It's like, and that single mom thing, like this shame that she feels, it's like, okay, first of all, it sounds like Emma's father is like has her 50% of the time. And this doesn't sound like some drama where some guy just left you high and dry and, you know, oh, you've been through much. There's millions and millions of families living just like this. Like what are they talking about?
Yeah. I didn't like how she was making it seem like because she's a mom, because she has a child, she's somehow worse or not as good as or damaged. There's that part of it. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Just, and there's a part of me that's like, oh, you've been through so much, all of this. It's like, well, maybe then this isn't the right place to be. Maybe therapy, maybe something else. Like maybe you need to work through all that. Because if that's the thing, if you're sitting on your wedding day thinking about all the people that have wronged you,
right,
and yeah, all your past relationships and all the things in which, I mean, your attitude should be like, I went through a lot. I'm so grateful. I learned about myself. And now this led me to here, to be mm-hmm. with this person. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the problem is that Jordan's, I think, and she knows this, Jordan's not the person.
So, yeah. And her brother knew it.
The brother, I mean, 2 minutes before they walk out.
Yeah. He's like, I don't expect Jordan to say yes. It's like, well,
now you're saying God. This? That's all I could think was, you're right. But now?
Right. This is not the time. Oh, yeah. God. I don't know.
I know a bunch of stuff has come out. Like she had these receipts talking about, I guess, showing people her communication with the producers. Did you see any of this?
Yeah. And I don't totally understand it, but I think it goes back to, did they have an agreement that they mm-hmm. were both going to say no? And that when Amber said yes, he was surprised and he didn't want to look like the bad guy and say no. Mm-hmm. And so he just said yes. That's one theory. And I don't know, she's leaking these texts to producers, and I'm not quite sure what she's trying to prove, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't quite understand the long text. I was hoping you could explain it to me because I was confused.
I just learned about them this morning and I was like, huh? I don't know. That there just seems to be all this, she's trying to do damage control over it. And it's like, and I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe
someone in the audience can explain it to me. to
someone
us. Because
to me, like I'm a 5-year-old. I mean, I don't get it, but I think it's pretty clear, and then we'll find out for sure at the reunion, but they're not together.
Yeah. And I guess it only lasted 3 months. And here's the thing. Did he even go out to Mount Vernon? I mean,
move in with her?
I bet you anything he never moved in. I bet you anything that they went in circles for a while. And finally, one of them was like, we got to call it.
Well, I heard that he just kind of packed up all his stuff and left one day.
Okay. Well, maybe
he came home from work and he was gone, but I don't think he actually moved in.
Yeah.
I think he just had some clothes there. So he got a box, you know, he put his stuff in a box or a suitcase or something. And
just one trip left. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was not about living that lifestyle, you know, mm-hmm. he wanted to be out in the bars or whatever. But again, poor Emma, like, you know, can you imagine? She meets this man the day before the wedding.
Yeah.
What does she spend like an hour with him?
Yeah.
She probably doesn't understand this whole love is blind, you know, the fakeness of it. And what is this? You know, she has no idea. Here she is. She's at a wedding and her mom is getting married. I don't know what she's been telling her this whole time. Mm-hmm. And then she says, maybe she didn't expect her mom to say yes, because maybe Amber wasn't going to say yes. Maybe mm-hmm. she told her something to that effect, because she was shocked.
Yeah.
She looked shocked and then she started crying. So she was completely confused about what was going on. And then this man starts spending the night at her house. And then a couple of months later, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. I mean, I don't think this... You cannot, Love is Blind cannot cast people with children.
No.
Simply because this is you are going to hurt a child. Like,
it's ethically, it's not right. Yeah.
Because this whole thing moves too fast. And truly, even if he met Emma at the airport coming back from Mexico, it still wasn't enough time.
Still not enough. No.
So.
No, it's insane. And
the
fact that Amber couldn't see that is concerning.
Well, you know,
and the way she talks to her when they were getting ready, she says to Emma, "You're my best friend. Thank you for going through life with me." You don't say that to a child. Like, that's too much pressure.
Yeah. And you guys aren't best friends. You shouldn't be best friends. It's not how it works. You need to find your own friends.
Well, and you can be friends with your child. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You can be a parent and be a friend, but that's a lot of pressure. You're my best friend. Thank mm-hmm. you for going through life with me.
But like, do you think
it's her partner?
So here's a question. I don't know what the answer is though. So do you think that when your child is under the age of 18, like from, you know, in college, let's say, because mm-hmm. I understand the friend thing now, like Layla's mm-hmm. 22, that absolutely, mm-hmm. I can see that. But do you think that you can be a friend with your child while they're living under your roof?
At a certain point, I do. And I think it depends on the child. You know, some children really need that firm boundary. Mm-hmm. And if you try to, you know, kind of let off, you know, they'll take advantage of you. Mm. So it depends on your child. And I don't know, it just depends on the relationship. But, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, here's the thing. It's a blurry line because, you know, Layla and I would do stuff together that, you know, you might do with your friends, you know, shopping, traveling and
holding luggage in Guatemala for her. Right.
Yes. We like to do the same things, you know, and so I know she's my daughter, but I like being with her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which is like great. Which is nice.
We get along. Yeah. She's nice to me. You know, I'm nice to her. Mm-hmm. So there is sort of a friendship element, but trust me, that can change in a heartbeat. You know, we can be, you know, driving down the road, chit chatting mm-hmm. and everything's fine. And I say the one wrong thing and she's just like, you know, then she goes into
because your mom, because yeah, your exactly. mom, like that's right. at the end of the day,
right?
You know, exactly. we spend time with our mom and I love her and all of that. But at the end of the day, she would say something to me and I'd be like, God damn, yeah. shut up.
So even though you're annoying,
even though you're completely right and justified in your thoughts and feelings, shut up.
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
So, I mean, I guess I'm just thinking like, I would like my son to have friends. I don't want. A boy's best friend should not be his mother. I don't want to be his best friend. Like, and I don't think that's very healthy. Like, you know,
no, he needs to have his own friend. That's unhealthy. Yes.
Okay. So should we talk about Devontae and Brittany?
Okay.
All right. Devontae is, things are,
I mean,
he is in trouble. And I can't even keep up with all of this stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
But, Brittany, what is happening? And why aren't your parents stopping you?
They're encouraging her.
Yes, this is the problem. But they've been married for a long time. And, you know, they know that marriage won't make you happy. Marriage will not make you feel good. Marriage will not make you feel like you're
enough. I don't think they know that. I think that they believe that. And they were in on the buying of the dress. They were in.
I know
all of this. They are enablers.
I guess so. I guess they are. I don't want to think that, but you're right. They must be if they're not stopping and if they have not. I mean, you can't stop your daughter from buying a dress, but yeah, I think it sounds like the mom was on the same page. I mean, if Layla wanted to buy it, I mean, I think you just have to stop the person and just be like, please don't do this.
That's crazy. Don't do that.
You also don't know who you're going to be and what you're going to want when you get married.
Right. You don't even know where you're going to get married. You might get married on a beach and you need like a little slip dress. I mean, yeah. You don't need that big old wedding gown.
Yeah. Yeah. But you see very clearly, like she's not thinking about marriage. She's not thinking about any of that. She's thinking about the wedding. She's thinking about this thing, this thing that she's got to do. And God, I just was reading something. There's a phrase for it. It's like it's the arrival fallacy. It's mm-hmm. the belief that once I arrive to what the goal is, then I will feel good. Everything, mm-hmm. right? Once I make $1 million, once I lose 40 pounds, once I lose this, once I lose that. And well,
I'm going to defend Devontae here just a little bit.
Uh-oh, Brooke. Because have you seen the picture comparisons to him to like E.T.?
Oh, no. I know he looks like a Care Bear. I know he looks like a gummy bear. I know. Okay. I know. But, you know, this has nothing to do. Yeah. We can't talk about looks here.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So he was very freaked out by this wedding dress thing and all of it.
Yes.
He said to her, you know, he felt like that she would marry anybody, it wasn't like she wanted to marry him, that she would marry anybody. And she was so, and I see that, and he's right. That is the energy that she was giving off. And he was freaked out by the wedding dress. And so when they open up the scene, they're on a couch, and this is the first thing that she says about this topic, you know, yes, the fact that you're not going to get married. She's like, I had the dress, the nails, the lashes, all the things ready to be married. And her parents are so excited. So again, this isn't about Devante or loving him or anything. It's like, I had all my, you know, beauty stuff in my dress. I was ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Family coming in town. I think it's a combination of I had everything ready, plus I'm now embarrassed.
Yeah.
In front of these people. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that I get that energy. I mean, and I don't blame him for being turned off by that. I think that's what he was turned off by. I think he could have gotten over all the other excuses he was making that, she never dated a woman of color and whatever, whatever. I think that if she was genuine and, you know, he felt that, then he would have gotten over that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why in Mexico, he had an out. He had an out. He really did. Because I think he felt it then. He knew this wasn't going to work then. And, you know, he just, it was too much. And I'm with you on this Devante thing, because that's what we're saying about Mexico. She's upset that he's not there when she wakes up. He's upset. You know, it's very codependent. She wants to have a very codependent relationship with whomever she marries. And, you know, Devante doesn't want to get married, period.
Yeah. Yeah. And even another act of desperation, she even says she's willing to get a prenup.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, I wonder if she already broke her promise about not having sex.
She did
get the prenup. I mean, she will do anything. And she's so desperate with all this. Oh, we're still together, right? Mm-hmm. We're engaged, right? We're going to be together, right? It's like she thinks she's just on pause.
Yes. Yeah, no, she's calling him her best friend, the love of her life. But, you know, you look at that and like Devante, he took everything he owned when he left that house. He's like, well, I got to go. He's got these bags, right? He is not. And he's like, I don't care about that hat. I don't care about the hat. I'm never coming back. Like, you knew when he said goodbye, that was it. Like, he probably, unless she forces him to do it, like, he's never going to call her again.
Called her ever again.
She
called him, left some messages, and then
he might have texted back and been like, busy, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And then this was the other thing that he said was, he's like, well, normally I would have just gone through with the wedding and just kind of endured, right? Normally I would be like Jordan, right? You know what I mean? I would have been Jordan, but now I've grown so much. And I'm like, okay, the day of, I mean, she was making the lash appointment, the nail appointment. You don't think that you could have stopped before then, before she did the wedding dress shopping? I mean, I think he knew that this was not going to happen. And it's kind of crappy to do it on the day, you know what I mean? To get her all the way to this point, because you knew that, but, I'm glad he did that. So the big controversy with him is that exes of his are coming out and saying that he's a serial cheater. that apparently like one woman came out and said he cheated on me. And then another woman came out and said, oh, wait a minute, I think I was dating him at the same time. And then like someone else came out saying, all four of these women are white that I've heard. And that he's, you know, that he's a serial cheater. And that, again, this is a spoiler for the reunion, that apparently as of the reunion, Devante has, he's with someone and engaged and she's pregnant. So,
well, when he was on the show, a woman has come out and said that when he was on the show, they were together. They just broke up in December of this past December. So the show wrapped in like,
They said it was April. They were talking about like April. Yeah.
So he told, she knew he was going on the show. He told her that he was just doing it to get brand deals.
He told her that? He told the girlfriend. Got it.
He told the girlfriend that he had in 2025. He was going on the show just for brand deals. And then, you know, he came home and they continued to be boyfriend, girlfriend. And then he broke up with her like at the end of 2025, met someone else. And then, like you said, is now engaged to that person and expecting a child. So not good. You know, there's no excuse for any of that. I mean, well, what he did to Brittany is like a separate issue, but I mean, but it's not like, it just shows his character. Like, I don't know. I mean,
what's been interesting is all of this stuff's come out. And so one of the things that people are dragging him about is the fact that at the end he walks out and he's getting into a Honda and everyone's like, prenup, really? You know, you're driving
Hondas
a Honda.
Are good cars.
No. And, but that's the thing, he defended. So instead of him being like defending, saying, no, I didn't cheat on anyone. No, that didn't happen. It's like, he's like, why is everyone making fun of my Honda? Honda's a good car. You know, but
maybe
but
he can get a brand deal with them.
Yes. No, I'm sure he is. He's thinking that way. He's thinking about getting a Honda brand deal. But it's just funny because he's not defending any of these things, which makes us all go, okay, then it's true. And your biggest concern about all of this is that people are making fun of your Honda.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's going to have a rough time at the reunion, but...
Oh, and I saw one other thing. It's more of a visual, but so this was a side-by-side. Apparently, there are some photos of Devante, like much like Chris, using a lot of filters for maybe Instagram, the Instagram photo. So it is of him, but it's like half shaded. So you only see one side of his face. And he looks, I mean, it's him, but it's him, like the male model version of him. Like if you saw that photo, you would think this guy is so fucking hot. Like, oh my God. And then this guy walks out. I just, yeah. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
Chicago. 2011, a cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Look, if these men were nice men, we would not be making fun of their looks.
Yeah.
It's the personality, you know? I mean...
It's this like, attitude of, oh, I thought you were... I've never dated a woman of color before. Like, you know, just the fact that it's like, well, then... Okay. Didn't you think that was a possibility? Why'd you go on the show where you couldn't see the person? If looks mean that much to you, then maybe this is not the show for you.
Yeah. Like,
that's why he's annoying. And he's annoying because, I'm sorry, you knew what was going on this whole time. You did. You knew she wanted this badly. And yeah. you knew you were never going to get there. And you wait till now.
He like, should have. Yeah, I should have left in Mexico. And he also had another out that his grandfather passed away.
Yes, yes.
He had so many chances to leave and he didn't. And
yeah.
That's not right. Because he even says he always had doubts.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Anyway, yeah. So at the end, he kind of looks at his watch and he's like, well, I got to go. He literally just like slithers on out of there and he says, mm-hmm. We'll be in touch.
We'll be, yeah. Well, he says it like, well, we'll be in touch. And she's like, oh, I hate you. You're so silly. Like, I'm like, no, Brittany, that's really what he means. We will be in touch. Like, no, no, no. Brittany, I mean, I really hope we see, I really want to know what Brittany's thinking.
I hope Brittany has taken a look at this.
And
said, you know what?
I got to look at myself.
I need to shift my attitude about this whole thing because she's never going to find anyone with this approach. She's going to scare everybody.
Well, not even that. It's just you're going to get married to get married. You're going to check. You're going to check the box to check the box. And yeah, you're going to then have children with this person. And then you're going to wake up and go, I cannot stand this person, or they're not nice to me, or, you know, they're there were so many red flags that it's like you are never going to be able to see it. So it could be like her parents are hurting her. Like she could end up because she wants to get married so badly, meeting and marrying someone that could like wipe her out financially or do something really awful or be abusive. Like that's the other part of it too is so. The parents.
Yeah, because abusive men prey on people like her.
Yes. You know? Yes. They do.
They can sense that, oh, you know, she'll put up with anything.
Yeah. You know? She will.
Oh boy. Ugh. Well, RIP Brittany and Devonte.
Yes.
I can't wait for the reunion to see.
Well, let's talk about Ashley and Alex. This and I'm gonna say something a little controversial here. I think not completely, but mm-hmm. I do want to defend Alex a little bit. Like the speech, mm-hmm. it really felt like he's down. He's down, mm-hmm. Ashley. It's enough. Do you know what I mean?
Stop.
It's like, stop kicking him. I mean, you know, and I kept thinking, this is the end. No. It just felt a little much. I don't know how you took it in, but it felt like a lot.
No, I agree. I think she came off as an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she started this segment by saying that she was showing some empathy to Alex, talking mm-hmm. about how they had different childhoods, that she'd had a stable childhood and loving family. And, you know, he had a very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's nice. Because I feel the same way. And, you know, I know people are going to come at me, but I too have a lot of empathy for Alex. Yeah. And I don't think he's that bad as the season has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's that bad. And I think that the reason why he can't remember a lot of things from his past is because I think his life is complete chaos.
Yeah. And he also might be disassociating. A lot of people, like if you've had tons of abuse and trauma, like maybe he just doesn't remember. He's put it back. Do I think that Alex is a great guy? No. Do I think Alex could become a better person? Yes. I think he's got it in him. I think that if he worked through, I would put my money on Alex before Devonte. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that I think he's been through a lot. And I also think that he's very stuck in his life and he feels like he needs to show the world that he's confident, that he's charming, that nothing gets him down. And he also needs to make sure that we all, you know, respect him and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, if you just stopped with this stuff, if you just like, nobody cares that you day trade.
Yeah, just be yourself.
If you are just who you are. But I don't think Alex knows who he is. I think Alex has been running from place to place to place to figure out who he is. And it's like, no, you gotta go back and look at yourself and look at what made you to get here. and then you can move forward.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessary for her to rake him over the coals like this. And I didn't understand, Ashley, because she was speaking so glowingly of him. Is this just all an act?
Yeah,
you know,
I think it
she's
is.
She's talking to the camera. You're like, oh, what's happening here?
Because you know, I think they're making her. Yeah, I think before it, you have to have all of these neutral statements and love statements. No, you're right. And love statements. But it is a little bit of like, wow. You know, there's this huge difference. And her dad, hello, little sweetie. Hello, sweetie. That's how she greeted her.
With I couldn't even hear what you just said. Oh. I saw your mouth moving, but there was no sound.
Hello, little sweetie. Hello, little sweetie. Like in this baby voice. Hello, little sweetie. Hello. I mean, he treats her like a child.
Yeah.
And I bet you anything he helped her. He helped her with that speech.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like a closing argument. Yeah.
He's like, and then you say this, and then you say this.
Yeah. I know, like Alex, and then they cut to Alex talking about how Ashley is a top tier partner. And then he does all these soccer analogies and, you know, comparing the wedding day to soccer. You know, now we're walking out on the field and now everyone's excited and ready to go. And then the whistle blows and then it's just like, okay, Alex.
But that's the thing. I'm not nervous. I'm not, it's like, it's okay if you're nervous. I'm not nervous. I'm not this. I'm not that. Right. Like, it's okay. No one's, no one is expecting you not to be nervous, but that's the problem. He can't even own nervousness. He can't even own that and be like, I'm anxious.
Well, was there a text that leaked where he was basically, was this to her? Where he was basically saying that, look, we know we didn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was a text that he wrote to her beforehand. Well, you know, we didn't get there, but I had a great time going through this experience with you. And, you know, I have a lot of, you know, respect for you, whatever. This nice text, like they were, they had agreed that they were both going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But then she co-opted that.
Yes.
In fact, she even... interrupted.
Yeah.
He was supposed to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And she just yanked that from him. She started in with her speech because she wanted to go first because she wanted to dress him down and give her speech.
And she wanted the world to know, I'm dumping you. You're not dumping me. And and again, that is showing you a lot about Ashley because Ashley's whole story of like a year ago, I would have put up with this. A year ago, I would have done this. I would have done that. And it's like, this is great, Ashley. Yeah. I'm glad you're choosing yourself. I'm glad you're doing all these things. But, you know, I don't know if I don't think this speech, like the speech isn't you being mature. It isn't you believing in yourself.
No,
the speech isn't that.
Immature. Yeah.
Like this isn't, she thinks that she's making this big mic drop moment. And it's a little bit like, no, I mean, I think you could have said that you felt like he disconnected once you got to that, to the back to the apartment. But to say that he's a liar and to question his integrity, I'm a little bit with him on this because hold on a second. You're calling him a liar, but he's saying to you, like,
he's being honest about how he feels.
Yeah. But also if she seems to have a real issue with these situationships that he was in and that he was like, you know, would go sleep with this person and then maybe just walk over, you know, and just, oh, that ends. And then this new
that's
one.
That's all men, Ashley. Good luck finding. I mean, what go get a virgin then, you know, if that's what you want.
Well, and also it's also women. Women do this shit too. But it's men. Yeah, men can. Men will. Maybe you don't, Ashley. Maybe you couldn't do that. But a lot of people can. So, you know, it's not a judgment. But this is the rumor that came out that I heard from Storytime with Ricky. Apparently, there's something coming out that Ashley was seeing her ex while living in the apartments with Alex.
Yeah, sure. I believe it.
So everybody's like, well, is that cheating? I mean, here she is calling him a liar, calling him this, calling him that. Like, you're not being honest either.
Exactly. You're supposed to be getting, you're engaged. Mm-hmm. You know, you got engaged, you're planning a wedding and you're seeing your ex-boyfriend. I mean, yeah, Ashley is full of shit. She's one of these people who acts so holier than thou, and she's not. She's a dishonest person. We all do dishonest things, mm-hmm. and in certain ways, and, you know, some more than others, but, you know, she... Yeah, she's a piece of work.
Well, and they kept calling her like Barbie bride. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of like, because I think what really bothered Ashley was that he wasn't attracted,
to her.
And yeah. I think, and she's very beautiful. And I think, yes, I think you've gotten attention your whole life. I think you have been treated this way and all of that. So that really, it's almost like she's so angry at him that she had to then like poke holes in all these stories. And again, do I think he's slick and do I like him? Would I want to spend time with Alex? You know, I don't want to spend time with Alex. Yeah, I think he's slick. Yeah, he has an answer for everything. But again, it didn't feel like, I don't feel like that's enough to call someone a liar on national mm-hmm. television, you know?
Yeah, no, she didn't come off well. She actually made Alex.
Yes, now we're defending him. Nitwit. Oh God. Okay,
let's talk about some of these family and friends.
Okay, can we talk about the mom and what the mom wore?
She wore a sparkly mermaid dress,
but wasn't it short? It wasn't long.
It looks like to me. That's what I thought. Sparkly mermaid dress. You know, mm-hmm. it's that kind of. Mermaid cut. Mm-hmm. No, it yes. was completely inappropriate.
But it was so crazy. I'm like, this is not your day, right? You do know. I mean, it's a very interesting choice.
Who would wear that?
Yeah, dress? it's a very interesting choice. And I swear to God, when Alex greeted her, there was a part of me that was like, I feel like he hired this woman. I don't think this is his mother. I feel like he's hired her to play the role of his mother. If we hadn't seen that podcast, the YouTube channel with her on yeah. it and them talking about their lives, I would think that she was a hired actor because I think we're also seeing there's not that
not
connection. There's not a lot of warmth. There's not a lot of like, she was not a she did not sound like a nurturing mother. You know, and I really think that she prioritized herself over him the entire time. And so he's in this weird, this is why he's so, you know, he's all over the place having to feel like he needs to be cool and be confident is that he really doesn't know. He doesn't know what love is. Maybe he doesn't really know what it's like to be loved.
Yeah. She was his only family member there. And he had some like hot MAGA guy friends.
Yeah.
that were there. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Alex is, I mean, I think he sees his mom, I don't know, a few times a year. It's probably the most he's seen her
in a long time.
Show in years. And he doesn't really have a family and kind of just, I'm feeling worse for him. I've got to stop.
Yeah, the part with the mom, the fact that the mom, and this is also, I think, what is keeping Alex stuck, is I think that if mom had gone through and worked through her own issues and mom, you know, was able to come back to Alex and say, you know, I am so sorry. I take ownership of this. I take ownership of that. You know, I put you in these terrible positions. I should have protected you. Like, I do wonder if he would be different, but that's the problem. She's still living in this.
Right,
oh yeah. Your life was hard, but mine was better. But my nice, stable parents raised you. So, you know, I decided to have a child with this man that's going to run off, you know, whatever that story mm-hmm. is of how the whole family, you know, how they got together, all of that. There's just no sense of, maybe some of this affected Alex. It's almost like, yeah, he's had a hard time. It's like, well, bitch, you're part, you know, you were part of that. You didn't stop it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. How do you think we got here?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was surprised to see Ashley's mom in this powder blue power suit.
Yes.
She had a very like Hillary Clinton vibe. And I was like, oh, this is different than the lady that we met at the, when they first met the family, and she didn't even say two words, you know.
Well, did she say any words here? She didn't say anything
either.
It was just, it was all dad. Dad like pushes everyone away so he can run towards Ashley.
He sucks all the air out of the room. I mean, now, which, if you had to pick a wedding outfit, would you wear the power suit or the mermaid dress?
I think you have to, do the power suit, right? The mermaid dress is just, it's going to draw a lot of attention to you and people are going to comment on it. The power suit, no one's going to, it's not hurting it. You know what I mean? It's innocuous.
Yeah. Agreed.
So,
yeah. And then,
all right. Is that the end of them?
I was just writing. Yeah. She rejects him before he can reject her. Yeah.
And
that's that.
Yeah. I think that since he left soccer, I really don't think that he's done anything of significance. And I think that's another thing that really bothers him. So he always goes back to the soccer well.
Right.
So I'm confident. I'm this, I'm that. It's just like a soccer game. It's like, you know, it's been a long time since you played. Like,
yeah. I heard someone talking about how, the core of his story is that he was going to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
But for this injury, the knee injury or whatever it was, he would have been drafted. Like, that's a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was talking about how, okay, and he's a goalie. So there's not that many positions for goalies, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even harder to get drafted. And this person was talking about the league that he was trying to get drafted in is like one of the hardest leagues, you know, to get into. And that, you know, there was a very low likelihood that he was going to be drafted.
I thought he was drafted. I thought he was drafted, that he was like a sixth round pick, that he was drafted and that he was drafted as part of this team. But what happened was that he only played for a little while because then the injuries were so bad. That's what I thought.
I thought he was talking about how, he was supposed to be going with the team to the draft. And instead of sitting in a room, you know, waiting to hear if you're drafted, he was sitting in a hospital or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he made it to the draft.
I feel like he was drafted. I feel like he did get drafted. But the reality is he did not really play of any significance.
Maybe that was a different league that he could actually, but he maybe could have gotten drafted into one league and he was trying to get drafted up to a higher league,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't, I don't know.
Well, but his big claim, like he played soccer in college, right? And he kept saying that D1, I don't understand any of these
Division
sports.
Division 1.
So Division 1 means it's the best. So I could see, right? I mean, there's some cachet in that, right? Playing D1. Right, I don't know where he went to college.
Thousands and thousands of people play Division 1 sports and
mm-hmm.
they don't go, they don't.
Yeah, no, most of them don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a big accomplishment, but I don't know. But that's his story. That's his story. You know?
He's trying to figure out, how do I not make this thing that I really, really wanted and I have all this disappointment around it? How do I make sense of it and how do I make it meaningful to me? But the problem is he hasn't done any work to figure out why it's meaningful to him. That's the problem. Like this that's why the story is never moves. There's no reflection. There's never any reflection on, you know, I got hurt and I realize now that in the end that I, you know, that soccer would have been a hard career. I don't know. Something.
I don't know.
All right. So of course I had to laugh because I didn't know when I thought Christine and Vic's wedding was going to be, but when it came in at the end, I was like, oh yeah, they knew they needed us to leave on a high note. They know they were like, oh God, we're so sorry. But look at these two.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, everything was perfect.
Yes.
You know, and we haven't really seen that much of them. This is the most we've seen of them. So it was like, it was nice.
His sister is definitely his sister. There's no doubt.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
But she looks a lot like him. Like, oh, yeah, that's, and the mom, that's his face.
They look like the mom. Yeah, there's strong resemblance.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mom and the sister are totally delightful. And
you know. Christine's written them this nice card, probably telling mm-hmm. them, you know, how happy she is. Like, oh, so normal. So nice. You know, everyone's happy. Their words are truthful.
Yeah, and she brings this up a lot about how she has insecurity about her background, her family, her education. So, you know, there's a lot of trauma going mm-hmm. on there. I mean, I get the sense like with Vic, he alludes to like maybe when he was younger, he maybe got in some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because he says to the mom, after I came back from my first year of college, I said to you, you know, how did you not... you know, give up on me or something like that. And she's like, oh, I would never do that. And
yeah.
So even though he might have had like some struggles, it sounds like his family of origin is very secure and stable mm-hmm. and loving. So interesting, you know, it's very interesting these two found each other.
Yeah, you know?
They seem to have what they need, the other person needs or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely think that she's insecure about the family stuff because I don't know. I don't know if she worries because he's got a PhD yeah. that he's judging her or judging the family. And again, I think that's her own judgment of the family because I don't mm-hmm. think he is at all. But yeah, they seem to be. It's funny when Vic talks about this, like, I don't think Vic's rebellion is really what, do you know what I mean? Is, well, what's
probably
interesting,
wasn't that bad.
And this is what's interesting about it is that while his rebellion, I don't think was that bad. I think being a Black man, I think that it is, you know, it doesn't take much.
Right.
You know, one wrong move, one wrong thing, that could be it. So there is that other piece of maybe he's sort of thinking like, I you told me never to do this, never to do that. Like mm-hmm. that's too, you know, that'll put you in a bad situation or whatever that is. I don't know. But I just don't feel like they both got caught for smoking weed. Like, okay, you know, like,
I know, that's the worst thing.
Oh, please. Then you're the nicest person ever, you know, that's the worst thing you've ever done.
Well, you know, I found out what watching one of Vic's videos, he's like, you know, people ask me, you know, what is it that I do? And so he's trying to explain his, explain his area of expertise. So he, because they always say he's in public policy, he mm-hmm. teaches public policy, but, you know, he's a criminologist.
Yes.
He has a criminal justice background. And so he does public policy that's related to criminal justice. Like, oh, I love you even more.
You know, do you think we could get Vic on our show? Should we reach out to him?
I think nothing to lose.
I mean, listen, he's a professional. We're professionals. Maybe we can. We love to talk about criminal justice.
We love criminal justice.
And we love
talk.
You,
yeah,
and we love you, Vic. I don't know. I think we should try.
We could. We could try.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And it ended on a good note. And these two are happy. And I'm, God damn it, they better be together at that reunion or I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh, of course they are. I think we've seen them in real time, like videos or, yeah, no, they're together. Yeah. The whole thing, it's like, I don't know what to really say about
this
wedding. Yeah,
there's nothing to say.
Because every moment of it was just so, you know, beautiful. And, you know, his, teaching his friends the electric slide. It was so cute. And, you know, I don't know. What do you say about it?
Beautiful couple, terrible television.
Yeah, it's too boring.
Yeah.
We meet, well, Christine's mom is there, of course. And then we meet her uncle, who's in a kilt.
Mm-hmm.
And he really loves Vic.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting that he was like, hey, I haven't had a chance to tell you. Like, and I was like, that is so, that made me happy because that just like, good. Like we, the audience, you know, okay. Everything that we're seeing, everything that we're feeling, absolutely.
Yeah, this
we're
is
not
real.
Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And then his sister, Shondell, she officiates the mm-hmm. wedding. And Vic is so overcome with emotion. He can't even find his words.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. This just, So lovely.
Yeah. They're so, Netflix is so lucky. Love is Blind. The producers are so lucky that these two came. I mean, because if, because what would have happened was the last wedding would have been the Jordan and Amber wedding. Do you know what I mean? If these two didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so, and then we're going to end on poor little Emma, like,
yeah,
you know, deer in the headlights. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I thought they both looked great. I really liked his light tan suit. You don't see that very often, but you know, he can pull that off. And
yeah,
I liked her dress. I did not like that choker that she had that just cut off her. I mean, this is not 1995.
Yeah. I know.
She's wearing a choker. Oh, and then thankfully she was able to cover up her back tattoo with her veil.
Yeah.
The two angel wings. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought everyone's dresses were very pretty. I mean, I don't think anyone had a dress that I was like, oh, no.
No.
The only one was Amber. Amber style, I think, I mean, that would be the one I would like the least. I think part of it is just that bouffant hairdo, like the whole sort of.
Yeah.
It feels
too much curl.
It's a lot.
It, she didn't look like herself. And, you know, Emma didn't either because they put a ton of curls in Emma's hair. And Emma doesn't wear her hair like that. Like, they should have straightened it. I mean, she already has straight hair, but, you know, they could have straightened it, made it, make it nice and glossy and straight. And it would have looked, maybe put a little bit of it up. But those curls, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like her.
Yeah. No, and I just, and I think this is why people think that Amber's lying about her age. I don't think she has any reason to lie about her age, but I do think that the hairdo dates her.
Yeah, it does age.
Someone needs to say to her, this is aging you. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So that is Love is Blind season 10. We've got the reunion coming up. And so that should be interesting. We do see Chris. He's there.
Yes.
He's
grown his hair out.
Yes.
It's like longer hair.
Yes. Yes. So we shall see. We shall see what happens.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of, I mean, just from the clips I've seen on TikTok, I think a lot is going to be revealed. Oh, yeah. Because apparently there's rumors that Connor and Bree are still dating. What else? I don't know. There's all the Devontae stuff. But I did see in the preview for the reunion, there's a lot of people there from past seasons. And
it's like, we don't care. We've moved on.
No, we don't care at all.
And if we cared, we'd be following them on Instagram.
Right.
Like, we would already know what was going on in their lives. So you don't need to tell us. This is not, you know, the 80s where this is the only way to see somebody.
Right.
You know,
unless it's in the TV guide.
Yes. Yes. Or some magazine somewhere.
The Inquirer. Yeah. We already know. We know that, who's the couple that broke up that just had a baby?
Oh, Alexia, Alexa
and
Brennan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
apparently he's already got a new girlfriend.
Oh, that I can believe. Men do move on pretty quickly. I mean, if they want to meet someone, they will meet, they'll move on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, there's this, I feel like the producers just want to bring out their most successful couples.
Right.
You know, and
people who are still together.
Keep emphasizing this over and over again. Love is blind. Love is blind. Is love blind? Blind. I cannot wait for the reunion to hear about the conversation between Brittany and Alex and how that landed with Ashley and.
Yeah. And what was really said,
you know,
maybe Brittany will let us in to, what went down.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. We're almost there. We're almost at the finish line of season 10, Love is Blind. If you enjoy us and our content, we have a Patreon. You can go check us out there where we get all the shows ad free. We do a weekly bonus. For our higher tier, we have an Ask Us Anything and a True Crime. There's other ways to support us in the show. You can subscribe so that you get all these episodes right there in your feed. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review. Those really do help us and help people find the show. You can tell a friend or 2 friends or 5 friends. We got a message today from someone from Denmark. So she loves the podcast. I was like, I'd like to be in Denmark. What is that like?
Seems safe there.
Yeah. Can you adopt us? Can we live with you?
Yes. Can we come visit at least?
Yeah. For the next 3 years. But yeah, so if spread the word, and then you could also follow us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, anywhere, you can find our content and us. Yeah, I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hi, this is Hannah Berner from Giggly Squad. Have you ever put on a bra that makes you feel like a goddess? Prepare to be obsessed with the Dream Angels Wicked Bra from Victoria's Secret, the iconic brand behind the world's most comfortable bras. And I only wear the most comfortable bras. The bestseller features an innovative sling for perfect lift without padding, and the fit is chef's kiss. Awaken your inner goddess with new colors and super femme lace embroidery. Find out why this bra has thousands of 5-star reviews and counting. Shop it in stores and online at victoriassecret.com.